We begin Masechta Shkalim, we begin with Daf Beis, where the Masechta primarily is talking about the halachas of Shkalim, that is the machtz shekel, the half a shekel that is was given every year for the chiyuv of the karbonis, the new karbonis that were brought for that year in the Beis Hamikdash. And now we commemorate that around Purim time when we give the machtz shekel, the half a shekel to tzedakah. So the Mishnah begins. Be'echad bi'adr, on the first day of the month of Adar, which the Gemara is going to explain why that is on the first day of the month of Adar, Mashmin, the Gemara will explain exactly what does it mean that it was made to be heard, Al Hashkolim regarding the Shkolim, and that is that the Jewish people should bring their Shkolim up to Yerushalayim. And another announcement that was made on the first of Adar was Va'ala Kalayim regarding Kalayim, which are forbidden mixtures that are in the field, that they should uproot the Kalayim until that it's not left more than a quarter of a kav for every besa, which is a ratio of 1 to 24, that less than that would not be considered a forbidden mixture. And they make these two announcements on the first day of the month of Adar, one regarding the Shkalim, to bring it up to Yerushalayim, and one regarding the Kalayim, to be careful what's growing now, that it shouldn't be a forbidden mixture. Uvachamisha asabayan, on the 15th of the month of Adar, the following things are done. Koines ha-Megillah b'krachim, they read from the Megillah, that is Megillas Esther, in the walled cities. And these are cities that were walled from the days of Yeshua ben Nun. And this that our Mishnah doesn't say about the 14th of Adar, which is when the rest of the world, when they read Megillas Esther, which in the open cities, they can really explain why it doesn't talk about, it only mentions the walled cities that they recite the Megillah on the 15th of Adar. And also on the 15th of Adar, Umesaknes Adrachim, and they would begin to fix the roads, Vesar Chavis, and the streets, because they would get all dirty and ruined from the winter months, and therefore they would fix it because of the upcoming Yom Tov of Pesach, because of the Oil Regalim, or because of those that go into exile to the Ari Miklat, as the Pasuk in the Devarim Yotes tells us, Tochen Lo Haderech, the road should be prepared and fixed and ready for those who have to quickly go to the Ari Miklat to save themselves, because they killed by mistake. So therefore they would do this at the end of the winter time by the 15th of Adar. There's mikvahs amayim, they also fix the mikvahs, the pools of water, which was to clean it off from the dirt or to draw in new water into it if it started missing the shear, the requisite amount over the winter from the amount that it has to have to create tara. And they would take care of all the needs of the public on starting at the 15th of Adar, and they will explain what does it mean, all the tzarchei rab. Additionally, they would do umitzaynin es hakvaris. They would put signs. They would make a sign on the cemeteries, on the graves, with lime, so that the kahanim and those that are trying to keep and maintain the status of tahara, that they shouldn't be mahal. They shouldn't go ahead and lean over this grave because they won't know that it's there. And therefore, since during the winter months the lime would dissolve because of the rain that washed it away, so therefore they had to re-put up the signs and. Be it that it's an indicate that here is a grave to put on the lime on it, that they would do on the 15th of Adar. And the Yetzin Aval Klaim, and they also on the 15th of Adar would go out regarding the Klaim to make sure there was no Klaim out in the fields, and the Gemara will explain exactly what that means. Now the Gemara asks on the first halacha that our Mishnah and our Perek and our Masechta began with. V'loma be'echad ba'adar. Now why is it that on the first of Adar, specifically on that date, did they make this announcement, this mashmian on the Shkalim? And that the Gemara answers, Kadesh Shiviu Yisrael is shaklein by Nasan, so that the Jewish people should bring their shkalim, this machtsa shekel, in this proper time, vititarim trumas alishka, and that they should make the withdrawal from the withdrawals that they would make from the chamber, and that is because they would withdraw from the chamber, which in that chamber was where all the shkalim were gathered together, as the Mishnah will tell us later on in the third parak, that they should do this min hachadosha bismana, from the new shkalim. In its designated time, which was Be'echad B'Nisan on the first of Nisan, and that is since on the first of Nisan. They had to then begin bringing the karbanas from the tzibur, from the new truma that they had taken off, as the Gemara will later on explain. Therefore, Bezin had to go ahead and make announcements earlier, 30 days before, on the first of Adar, so that people should know and have time to bring their shkalim, because all the money had to be in by the first of Nisan, because by that time they had to then take those monies to purchase the karbanas. Because once after the first of Nisan came, those karbanas had to be not from any old collections, but rather from the new collections. Now the Gemara clarifies this. Umar Rab Shmuel Bar of Yitzchak, he says that regarding this, the why was it? So we're saying that yes, Adar, the first of Adar had to have been when they make the announcements, because the first of Nisan was when they were going to go ahead and bring the new karbanas from the new truma. Now, where do we know this, that the new Truma has to be done specifically by the first of Nisan? So he said, because Trumas HaLishka Ketchilasa, the Truma of the chamber has to be as it initially was. In other words, as the first donations, the first Trumas that were done by the Jewish people in the Midbar, that's how it has to be every single year when they're bringing their Kabbanas. So like it says the Pasuk in Shemais, says, Vayhi b'chodesh rishon, it was in the first month, which is Nisan, b'shana hashenis, in the second year since they had left Egypt, b'echal ha'chodesh, on the first of the month, which was Hukam and Mishkan. That's when the Mishkan was set up, which is the first of Nisan. Now, v'tanei Allah, we learn regarding this, that b'yom shehukam and Mishkan, the day that the Mishkan was set up, b'yom nitrid ha'truma, that was the day when they had taken off the new collections, the new withdrawals, and therefore we see this concept that the truma, for the new trumas, the new karbanas, have to be on Aleph Nisan, just like the day when the Mishkan was set up. And that's why every single year, that's when the new karbanas have to be taken from those new trumas. And therefore, 30 days before, they have to make the announcement so that people get their money in, so that it can be ready 30 days later. Another source, the Gemara says, Reb Tavi and Reb Yishai B'Shem Kahana, they say that Nemrkan Chadshe, it says over here, L'Chadshe, which it says in the Pasuk, Zayis Oilas Chaydesh B'Chadshei, that this should be the Oila of the month, in its month, L'Chadshe Hashana, for the months of the year, so it says the word L'Chadshe, V'Nem Alahalm Chadshe, and there it also says L'Chadshe, which was Rishon Hulachem, that this month of Nisan should be the first one for you, L'Chadshe Hashana, for the months of the year, when you start, begin counting the months, it starts in Nisan. So therefore, we make a comparison. Just like over there in that pasuk when it says chadshe, ein moin elam nisan, we only begin counting from nisan. That's the beginning of the months of the year. Of chadshe shenemar kan, also here where it says the months over here regarding karbanas, ein moin elam nisan, we only begin counting from nisan. But then Amr Biena comments regarding the way Reb Tavi and Reb Yishai said in the name of Kahana, says shavik Reb Tavi reisha demasnita. Reb Tavi left out the beginning of the brisa. The Omar Saifa, and they only said the end. And there's a word dal, is they pronounce it deloy. Deloy kane, without this kahadatani, that's how you could read the brisa. In other words, just by quoting the end of the brisa, you don't really know anything. You have to quote the entire brisa to get an understanding of what this source of this comparison of chachi chachi is, to tell us that the new trumas has to be an Aleph Nisan. And here he quotes the entire brisa. It says, Zayis olis chaydish b'chadshai. This is the oila of the month in its month. Now, it sounds like that it has to be per month. So yachal yehei tarim b'chol chaydish v'chaydish. You would think that you take a new withdrawal every single month because it's the oila of the month should be in its month. So you go ahead and you take the withdrawals for the Kabbanas Tzibur every single month. Tam aloyma, that's what the Pasuk teaches you, b'chad shay, in its month, l'chad shay, to the months, which is b'chaydish echad hu tarim l'chol chad shay hashana. In one month is when you take for all the months of the year. That's why it says, b'chad shay l'chad shay. One month is the one that's for all the months of the year. So, not every month for that month, but rather one month is done that you do it for the entire year. Now, yachal b'ez ha'chadish year, so you would think, and this is where it comes in the end of the Brice, now you can understand. You would think that any month you could choose arbitrarily, that's when you'll take the withdrawals, and that will last for the entire year. On that, nemer kan chad shay, that is where the limud comes to tell you, that it says over here, L'chadshe, which is, it could have said, B'chadshai, this is the oila of its month for the year. And then I would have known that one month is when you take off the truma for the entire year, because the entire pasig is extra, and it's obviously telling us this halacha. But now that it says another extra word of L'chadshe Hashan, it didn't have to say L'chadshe Hashan for the months of the year, it could have said for the year. And I would know that's including all the months of the year. So obviously it's coming to teach us the following Zeresh Shavah, because here it says Chadshe, and it's extra. And there also, when it's talking about that this is the first of the months of the year, which is the month of Nisan, it also says the word chadshe, to tell you, just like it says the term over there, l'chadshe, it's ein moin elam Nisan, that we're only counting from the month of Nisan, that's the first month of all the years. Of so to hear when it talks about the term chadshe, which again is talking about, as we had already explained from the beginning of the Braisa, teaching of this halacha, that it's one month that then we choose to then take the truma for the entire year, ein moin in elam Nisan, that month has to be Nisan, and that's the source of where we know that Aleph Nisan is when they take the new karbanas from the new truma, and that is why our Mishnah said that 30 days before you have to start announcing that people could get their shkolim by that time to Yerushalayim, so that the new karbanas 30 days later, Aleph Nisan, can be taken from that. Now the Gemara continues asking on our Mishnah. So we explain why on the first of Adar. Now we ask on the second term, Ma'o Mashmin. What does it mean that on the first of Adar, we let it be known regarding the Shkala? So that Rav Huna says, it means Machrizen, means we make an announcement. So now the Girsa, there are those that change from Heich Mad At Omar to Kemad Tema, like it said. In other words, this that they instituted to make this announcement, they actually have an asmachta from this. They have a reliance of this concept from a pasuk, as we find in Divrei Yom Beis, where it says Vayitnu Kol BiYehuda BiYerushalayim, that they had a voice go out, an announcement in Judea and Yerushalayim, where there the end of the pasuk ends off Lehevi LaHashem Masas Moshe Eved Hashem, to bring the tax of Moshe, the servant of Hashem, and there it's talking about Shkalim. As it's obvious from the parallel psukim in by Yehoyish, in Sefer Melachim, where it says that it was called Kesef Iver, which that's a reference to Shkolim, as it says regarding the Shkolim, where there was Kol HaIver Al Pekudim, where it would pass by the counting, and therefore we see that that pasuk that says that announcement should be made, it should be Kol B'Yehuda B'Shalayim, was talking about Shkolim, and that's a source for this halacha of making announcements before the Shkolim have to be collected. Now, regarding the topic of our Mishnah, the Gemara introduces the following discussion. Tama Tanina, we learned over there in the Mishnah, Masechtas Megillah, Ein bein Adar HaRishon la'Adar HaSheni. There is no difference in halacha between the first Adar and the second Adar, and that is sometimes it's a halachic leap year, which is we have not just one Adar, but we have two Adars. So one's called the first Adar, one's the second one. There's no differences. Ella Mikra Megillah, the only difference is regarding reading the Megillah of Esther, Matanas Levian, giving the gifts to the poor people. That is, if you read the Megillah in the first Adar, you would have to go ahead and repeat it and read again in the second Adar. However, Simon B'Shim B'Shim Levi, he argues, he says there are more differences between the two. One is Afshimua Shkolim, also the announcements regarding the Shkolim, and V'Klayim, the announcements regarding the Klayim B'Naim, is also a difference between the two of them. And that is, these two announcements only apply by Adar Sheni. And that is, if you made these announcements by the first Adar, you would have to go ahead and make these announcements again in Adar Sheni. Now, parenthetically, the Gemara says, related to the discussion that we were talking about, that there's the halacha of reading the Megillah, Reb Chelbai and Rav Huna and Rav B'Shem Reb Chiya Rabba, they all say, HaKol Yoytzen B'Yudal, that although we mentioned our Mishnah, and we said that there, on the 15th is when the Krachin, when the walled cities recite the Megillah. However, everyone will fulfill their obligation on the 14th of Adar, Shuzman Kriyasa, which that's the time when it's read for everybody. So although it's written, and that's the halacha that they should read it on the 15th, but everyone is Yaitse if they read it on the 14th of Adar. Now the Gemara returns to what it was discussing before between the Machlekes of Reb Simon, and the discussion about what are the differences between the first Adar and the second Adar. Amr B'Yisi says, V'yaos. And it's proper this, that Reb Simon had said, that there is another difference between the first and the second Adar, which is regarding the announcements of the Klayim and of the Shkolim, that they're only by Adar Sheni. Because, Klum Amru Mashmin Mal Shkolim, what was the whole reason why they said to make this announcement regarding bringing of the Shkolim? Isn't it so that the Jewish people should bring the Shkolim in this proper time so that it gets there by the first of Nisan? Now, if you would say that you can make this announcement even by the first Adar, so up until the time when it has to be brought, which is the first of Nisan, so then you still have 60 days between them, meaning from the first day of Adar Rishon up until Nisan is 60 days. Now, if you're going to say that you can make the announcement so early, we would be concerned that maybe people are going to rely on saying, oh, I have a lot of time, I have 2 months, I have 60 days, and they're going to be negligent, and they're not going to bring in its proper time. And that is because we find many times that Chum were concerned that they wanted to have a specific area of time, not too early, not too late, because in this case, if you make the announcement too early, people are going to say, oh, I have time, and therefore it would make sense that halacha would be not an Adar Rishon, but rather Adar Sheni. Similarly, Klum Amru Yitzin Afal Klayim, what was the whole reason why they said that we go out regarding the client and that we make an announcement on the first of Adar? Isn't it because that at that time the sprouts are already recognizable? Now, and they changed the girsa from Omer At to At Amana, if you would say, Ba'ad the Harishan, that when do we make the announcement? Even in the first Adar, but At Kedoin in the Kikin, but then up until that time, that means that 15 days later, when they would go out to check, that is, we said they would make the announcement in the first of Adar, then why would they go out? They would go out to check to make sure that there is no klaim. But then the sprouts are going to be small and it won't be recognizable yet to see if there's klaim. So therefore, there also makes sense to say that the announcement would only be on the first of the Adar Sheni, so that 15 days later when it's already closer towards Nisan time, which is later on in the year, that then it would be recognizable to klaim, whereas the 15th day of Adar Rishon, when they're going out to check after they made the announcement 15 days before, it wouldn't be so recognizable. So there it also makes this sense to say that it would only be valid in Adar Sheni. Now the Gemara continues. Reb Chizkiya Shal. Chizkiya asked. Now the explanation is that he asked the people in the Beis Medrash if they agree to what he deems to be the correct pshat. And that is because as this Masechta of Shkalim, the Gemara is the Gemara of Yerushalmi. And in Yerushalmi, wherever it says the term Sha'al, he asked, it doesn't mean like the term of Nibaya, like he didn't know the answer. Rather, it means he knew the answer. He knows the pshat. He wasn't asking to see if they think he's correct, but rather to see if they understand what he was understanding. And he was saying, and he asked, Reb Chizkiya asked the following question. Again, not because he didn't know, but to see if they agreed to what he held was correct. So he says, Miata, so now based on what we said, that, and this is why we said that it makes sense that it should be in Adar Sheni, the announcements of the Shkolim and the Kalayim, because by the first of the month, is if you would do it in Adar Rishon, there would still be a lot of time. So therefore, we said that you do it by Adar Sheni, so that then it's not too much time, and that's just the right amount of time that it could get to Yerushalayim by the first of Nisan. But if that's the case, then B'nai Bavel, the people that live in Bavel, that live very far from Eretz Yisrael, it would make sense to say, Mashmin Malashkolim, Mereshe Shal Chayrif. Then when would you make the announcements regarding the Shkolim? From the beginning of the winter time. Because those who take out the word Lai, Kidei Shevi Yisrael Sheklein by Nisan, so that the Jewish people should bring their Shkolim in this proper time. And as we said before, the whole reason of why we said we're making the announcements, and that's why it's by Adar Sheni, not Adar Rishon, is so that you don't want it too early, too late. So too early would be an Adar Rishon. But too late, you can't do it either. So for those who live in Bavel, it would take a long time to get them and get their money up to Yerushalayim. So it makes sense that you do it in the beginning of the winter, then v'titarm trumas alishkom and the chadash bezman. So that way, when they're going to make the withdrawal of the new monies, the new shkolim, in this proper time, it should be be'echad b'nisan, the first of Nisan, so that they have time to get their shkolim up to Eretz Yisrael by the first of Nisan. Because if that's the reason why we're making announcements, then it makes sense. If everyone has to get their coins there by the first of Nisan, wouldn't you agree, and this is what he's asking, he knew that this would be Pshat Reb Chizkiya, but he's asking, wouldn't you agree that it would make sense that the announcements there would not be on the first of Adar, but much, much earlier in the wintertime? So the Gemara says, "Hasav Reb Ula Kumi Reb Mana." So Reb Ula responded in front of Reb Mana, and he says, "I disagree. It seems not like what Reb Chizkiya is saying, because we find v'hataninan. We learned in the Mishnah later on that says b'shleisha prokim b'shana, in three different periods in the year, toymen es halishka, they withdraw from the chamber, and that is as we explained before. There was this large chamber that was in the mikdash. That there is where initially, when they would collect all the shkalim, they would put into this chamber. Then later on, when they wanted to take from the chamber to go ahead and buy the karbanas for the tzibur, they wouldn't take from it at one time, so that you should have all the karbanas of the entire year by withdrawing it right away. Rather, they would take from the chamber at three different distinct periods in the year, and they are b'preis ha-pesach, 15 days before the Yom Tov HaPesach, as the Karban Eidah explains that the term paris means half, broken. And that is because half of the 30 days before Pesach, when they would already start discussing Shele Medersh and the halachas of the Pesach, so half of that is 15. So 15 days before Pesach would be the first withdrawal. B'preis ha-tzeres, 15 days before the Yom Tov of Shavuos. And B'preis ha-chag, and 15 days before the Yom Tov of Sukkot would be when they would make these withdrawals from the Lishka, from the new Trumas, and then they would buy the Karbanas Tzibur in those three installments. So now, Amalei, Reb Ula says to Ramana, which would seem to contradict what Reb Chizkiya had said, Loi, Namer, and those that changed the Girsa to Yei Omer, wouldn't you say, in other words, doesn't this tell us that Elin Dekriven, those that live close to Yerushalayim, B'preis ha-Pesach, their monies would get there by the first of Nisan, which is 15 days before Pesach. That's when we would withdraw their monies for the new Karbanas. Elin Derechaikin, those that live further from them, B'preis ha-Tzeres, their money only got there later on, so then we would go ahead and take it 15 days before Shavuos. and those that live even further from those, then we would take their monies only from 15 days before Sukkot. And that's because the Gemara assumes right now, we continue on to Amud Beis, that the reason why they didn't go ahead and take the monies from the Lishka, from the chamber at one time, is because those who live very far didn't get their shkalim there yet. And another additional halacha is that they hold that you can't take the trumas for those that are ultimately going to be collected to consider them as part and partners for all the karbanos of Tzibur. And therefore it would come out that those who live very far would have no portion in the karban tamid of the Tzibur of the entire year. And therefore, that's what he's understanding, that the Mishnah tells us that's the way they would take off withdrawals at three different periods in the year. Because you would have 15 days before Pesach for those that are close. And then the other extreme, you would have 15 days before Sukkot for those that live very far away, like the people of Babel, who didn't get the opportunity to get their shkolim there yet, up until like right before Sukkot's time, from the time when the announcements were made on the first of Adar. Now that's difficult, contra B'chizkiyam, because we see that the people of Babel, they're also the announcement, the hachraza was only by the first of Adar. Because if you would say, like Reb Chizkiyah wanted to say, that the announcements were in the beginning of the winter, so then they would also be able to get their monies there, their shkolim, by the time of the first of Nisan. And then the difficulty would be, then why would the Mishnah tell us that they had to take withdrawals at three different times of the year if everyone had it there on time? So obviously it's not Reb Chizkiyah, because we have to take it different times so that we can get everybody when their coins come. And that seems to contradict Reb Chizkiyah. That Amalei, Reb Manna responded to him, no, it's not difficult. Really, it's like Reb Chizkiyah that Kula Ka'achasiba. Truthfully, all the coins came together at the same time. And that is, if they wanted to, they would be able to take it out at one time on the first of Nisan. Because they were all there at one time in the chamber ready. And however, that since as you said before, that they agree that you can't take trumas you can't take the withdrawals for that which was ultimately going to be collected. And therefore, it must be like Reb Chizkiyah, that for those who live far, that if they wouldn't get it there by the first of Nisan, if it was like the way you wanted to say, how you're learning up the Mishnah, not like Reb Chizkiyah, what would come out is that the ones who are later, let's say, the people of Bavel, that you're saying that it would only get there 15 days before, like around the time of Sukkot, and then that withdrawal would finally be from their coins, that would mean that up until Sukkot, they had no portion in the Karbanos of Tzibur. And similarly, in the opposite, that you're telling me that those who were nearby, that they would only have their cheer in the Kabbalah Sibber up until Sukkot's time, because up until now only their coins were being used, and after that it was already used up, and we're only getting those from people father. And it doesn't make sense to say that the entirety of the Jewish people did not have a portion in all the Kabbalah Sibber of the entire year. Because based on what you're saying is the early ones were used up earlier, and the later ones were only started later. Rather, what he was answering to him was, like Reb Chizkiyah, that all the Shkalim were gathered at one time. And that's because, like Reb Chizkiyah said, because for the people of Babel who live very far away, they would make announcements much early in the beginning of the winter so that they should get their coins there by Aleph Nisan. But then the question is, and that's what you wanted to ask as a contradiction from the Mishnah later on, but then why did they take the Trumas withdrawals at three times during the year? Do it one time in the first of Nisan when all the coins are there and buy the Karbanos. That the answer is, because we wanted to make a big splash, a big announcement to make it known to everybody what we're doing over here. And that is, you're right. There really was no obligation to take off the trumas at least three times. And rather, they could have done it in Nisan for the entire year. The Rabban, however, split it up into these three times, because in these three times were when the entirety of the Jewish people were there, because they were Oil L'Regel, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. And that's why they took off the withdrawals at these times, so that everybody should know that every single Jewish person has a share in all the karbanos of the Tzibur, which are brought every single day as the Karban Tamid, as the Gemara says later on, that by every Truma, they would take over Trumas that have in mind that every coin, although you're only taking some of the coins for this carbon and not all the coins, but that everybody has a portion in these. And the Gemara brings later on the second parak that relying on Psukim to show this concept that every single carbon, every single Jew had a portion in them. And that's because we find many times that although it wasn't necessary, they would do a pumbi, they would do a big announcement, Pirsumim, that everyone should know about it, and that's why they did it at three different times during the year. But it's not difficult, according to Reb Chizkiyah. Really, the truth was they had already the coins by Aleph Nisan, because in places like Babel, they made the announcements not Aleph Adar, but in the beginning of the wintertime. Now, regarding our Mishnah, and also specifically this, that we had to make the announcements to get people to bring their shkolim in the proper time, which is like the concept of Dibur Torah Kenegi Yetzer Hara, that because people wouldn't necessarily bring if they weren't announced upon and made to bring it. So the Gemara brings the following analysis. Rabbi Yehuda bar Pazi b'shem Rabbi, he says, "Hey Nikra, how could we read this v'loini voice and not become frightened? In other words, how could we read the following psukim and not be taken hold of with fear and trepidation? Because from these psukim and the contrast of these psukim, we see how great is the power of the yitzhar of the evil inclination. And that is because, whereas l'taiva, for good, when the Jewish people were asked to collect nedavis, donations for a good cause, there it says, only kol nediv leiv, all those who were donating of their heart, of the goodness of their heart, which means to say that who gave for the donations of the Beis HaMikdash, of the Mishkan, well, only those who were in the Div Leiv, that had an open heart, a heart that was inspired, looking to give. Whereas Lara, but for evil, which was when they were making the eagle, the golden calf, says Vayisparku kol ha'am v'gaimer, the entire nation took of their jewelry to give for the cause of the eagle Hazav, even those who were not in the Div Leiv. So we find that although for a good thing, it was only in the Div Leiv, for the bad, the Yitzhara had more of a power, everyone was giving. Similar contrast, we find L'taiva for a good thing, to go to Har Sinai, to get the giving of the Torah. It says, Vayetze Moshe Sa'am, that Moshe Rabbeinu took out the nation, which means to say that he had to take them out to go accept the Torah. Whereas L'ra, but for evil, when there was time to go ahead and send the Meraglim, the spies, to spy out Eretz Yisrael, it says, V'tikrivu ne'lai kulcha, Moshe Rabbeinu says, you all came to me to say, go send us spies, which was not a good thing, but there, it was all of them coming on their own volition, in contrast to going out to Har Sinai where Moshe Rabbeinu had to take them. Another contrast, we find L'taiva, for good, which was took place by the Yamsuf, where it says, Az Yashir Moshe v'nei Yisrael, that then Moshe Rabbeinu sang, and the entire Jewish people, which sounds like that he had to awaken by them first with his singing, Az Yashir Moshe, and then the v'nei Yisrael. Then they sought to sing and thank Hashem for the splitting of the sea. Whereas L'ra, but by evil, when they heard the Lashon Hara, the slander of the Meraglim of the spies, it says, V'tisa kol ha'ed v'goymer, that the entire assembly, they started weeping and they started crying. There they didn't need any awakening for evil things. They were ready to cry and to get involved, but by the Az Yashir, it was only after Moshe and then Ibn Israel. Similarly, Amr B'chia Barabba, quoting a pasuk in Tzafanya, says, Achein, however, hishkimu, they got up, hishchisu, and they were destructive in their paths, they did evil. Now we see, that means that all the destructive acts, all the various that they were doing, they did it early in the morning. It says, however, they got up and they destroyed their ways. Whereas by mitzvah, we say throughout Shas, Shrizim Makdim L'mitzvah. We only find that the ones who are zaris, who have are full of alacrity, that they're quick to do mitzvahs, as we find by Avram Avinu says, by Yashkim Avram Babaker, not everybody does mitzvahs early in the morning. Only the Zrizim Makdim L'mitzvahs. But to do bad, everybody gets up early to go ahead and do the hashchasa that they were doing, again, showing the contrast about for good, it's not so easy, not everybody's doing it, but for bad, everybody's doing it. So now regarding the first contrast that we found, that to donate to the Beis HaMikdash, and then in contrast that when they were giving for the Egel Hazav, so Amar Abba Bar Acha says, "In at yochel lamer al ufya shalom hazav," you can't figure out this people, the Jewish people, regarding their customs, what they do, because on the one hand, nitfon le'egel v'naisen, there's collections going around for the golden calf and they give money. And the Tvon Lemishkan Menasin, when there's collections going around for the Mishkan, they give to that too. And they're mutually exclusive, giving money to the Avodah Zarah, the Egel Hazav, and giving money to the Mishkan for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, Tana Reb Yisir Reb Chanina, Hadamasnita, he taught us the following brisa that shows it's not such a contradiction. Because Vasisa Kapiris, the Torah says you should make for yourself a cover for the Aron HaKadosh, Zahav Tar, pure gold. Now the Gemara makes a drasha, what does it mean? Zahav is Tahar. Yavi Zohav Shel Kaporis, let the gold of the Kaporis, of the cover of the Aron, come v'yechaper, and create an atonement. In other words, to create Tara al Zohav Shel Egel for the gold of the calf. And that is because he's arguing on Reb Abba, who said that whatever they gave to the Mishkan was the same thing as they just give whatever people collect for. People collecting for evil things, give money to evil things, Egel Zohav. People collecting for good for the Mishkan, give to the Mishkan. He says no. It was intentional that they gave the gold for the Kaporis, which was the kapiris, is a term of kapara, that it's a kapara on the Maisa Egel, and whatever they gave to the Mishkan was with that intention to create a kapara, an atonement for the Egel Hazav, and therefore it's not so contradictory. And that is, they had charata for the Egel Hazav, and this was an atonement for that purpose. So now the Gemara continues regarding what we had been discussing about and regarding our Mishnah, regarding the Nedavos to the Beis HaMikdash, and specifically what our Mishnah is talking about of the Shkalim, of the Machtzah Shekel that's given every single year. So Reb Chagai B'Shem, Reb Shmuel Bar Nachman, he says, Shalich Trumis Nimru B'Parshas Zayis. There's a reference to three donations that it's in Parshas Truma, where it says, V'yikhuli Truma. We find, first of all, Trumas Adonim, the donation for the sockets, and that is by the building of the Mishkan, the crushing, which were the walls, that they went into these Adonim, these sockets that were on the bottom that held the crushing. So there was a donation for those sockets. Second was Vitruma Shkolim, was the donation of the Machtsa shekels, of the half of shekels which were given. And Vitruma HaMishkan, and the third one was a Truma in general for the building of the Mishkan. As the Gemara explains, these psukim, where it says in the parashas of Truma, it says, Dabel b'nei Yisrael, speak to the Jewish people, v'yikhuli Truma v'gula, and they should give for me a donation. Zu Trumas Adonim, that's a reference to the Adonim to the sockets, as Gemara will explain. Me'ez kol esh asher yidven liboy, from every single person that donates his heart, tikhu es trumasi, you should take from me my donation, zu Truma Shkolim. That's a reference to the Truma of the Shkolim. And that's because, from the fact, by all the Trumas, it just says Truma. But by this one, it says Trumasai, my Truma, which means, say, the Truma that's for me. And that's because that's a reference to the Truma of the Shkolim, which from the Shkolim they would take every single year. The Kabbalah is for Hashem. That's why this one is obviously a reference to the Truma of the Shkolim. And the third one, V'zaysa Truma, Shatikhu Mi'itam, this is the Truma that you should take from them. Zu Trumas HaMishkan, that's a reference to the Truma of the Mishkan, which it said over there in the Pasuk, Zahav and Chesev and Tcheles. And therefore, obviously, and this is what we said, that from the fact that these two, as we were able to prove, that one is Trumas HaShkolim, because it says Trumasai, that the one's for me, and the other one was the Trumas HaMishkan, as the Pasuk continues to say, Zahav, Ches, all these different things. So obviously the first one that we mentioned, of the Yikhuli Truma, is obviously left over, is the Truma of Adonim. That's the source for these three. So now the Gemara clarifies the halacha of these three things. Trumas HaMishkan, so we spoke about the third one, the Truma that goes to the Mishkan, that was LaMishkan, that was for the purposes of the Mishkan, of the tabernacle itself. And there's Masha Yirtzu Yasu, and they changed the Girsa, there are those that change, from whatever it is that they want, Yaviyu, they would bring, and that is regarding the building of the Beis HaMikdash, of gold, if he brought gold, gold, if he brought Tchelis, he brought Tchelis, and even those that brought gold, everyone would bring whatever he wanted from gold, and no one brought necessarily the same amount, and so too for all these other types, the 15 things that I mentioned there in the Parsha, whoever wanted to bring, whatever they wanted to bring, and whatever amount it was, whatever they wanted to bring, they brought. Trumas Shkolim, the second thing we spoke about, that was the carbon, the half a Shkolim that was taken was for the carbonas. And they're also Masha Yirtzu Yasu, and they changed the gears, so whatever they wanted, Yaviyu, they would bring. As the Mishnah teaches later on in the second parak, that it wouldn't necessarily be just a Machzas HaShekel, because sometimes they would take Darchoinim, which were greater coins, and Sloim, and Taboyim. However, even if it wouldn't necessarily be a Machzas HaShekel, everybody would still always give the same amount. And that's what the Gemara says over here. However, Kadeshi Heyad Kulan Shava. However, everybody has to give the same amount for their karbanas. And everyone has to be equal in the shkolim that they give. So although, as it's mentioned in the Pasuk, as we're going to discuss and clarify a little bit later on, that it was a half a shekel. However, the shkolim would later on get bigger. So although people would maybe be giving greater amounts for the karbanas, which was taken from the Machtsa Shekel, however, everyone would be given the same amount. Finally, the first one that we spoke about, Trumas Adonim, was LaAdonim, that was for the sockets. And that is regarding that is what the Pasuk says, Ha'asha lo yarba, the wealthy person should not give more, V'hadal lo yamar, and the poor person should not give any less. In other words, regarding the Truma of the Adonim, there is where the preciseness of the Pasuk that says you should not give more or less than the Machtsa Shekel was exactingly. And this is where the explanation is, that because although regarding the shkolim for the karbanas, the mitzvah, that mitzvah was also said machzah shekel, but that was for the generations. That wasn't just a one-time thing. That was from the days of Moshe and onward, as we find in the Pasuk of Divrei Yom, that says, why didn't you tell the Levim to go ahead and collect from Judea and Yerushalayim the tax of Moshe for the Beis HaMikdash? And however, what happened was that over time, the coins didn't stay the same value as it was in the days of Moshe. And therefore, sometimes their coins would be like their koinais, which they would add and increase to the machtsa shekel of the pasuk. That's why regarding the truma of the shkalim, which was for the karbanis, when it says mashayirtsu yivi, what they wanted to, they would bring. It doesn't mean whatever. It means when the value of the machtsa shekel would go up, their coins would go up. It wasn't the same shkalim. They would increasingly bring that amount, but everyone would be giving that same amount. But regarding the first one we spoke about, the truma of the adonim, that was a one-time thing in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu. And then there was no other coin besides the shekel. So therefore, it wouldn't pass. It wouldn't make sense to say the term of mashayir to yivi, what they wanted to bring, they could bring. Because there the pasuk explicitly says, lo yarbi, you can't bring any more, and you can't bring less than the machtsa shekel. And if one looks at the calculations of the Pesukim, you see that that's exactly for the Trumas Adonim. It came out exactly to have a machtsa shekel for every single person, Jewish person at that time. And therefore, although the Pasuk of Asher Lo Yarbi is written between these two Trumas that we're discussing, between the Truma of the Shkalim for the Karbanas and the Truma of the Adonim for the Sakets, and the Pasuk is both related to the Pasuk before it and afterwards, and therefore, everybody does have to be the same. You can't have an usher being marba and the unnei giving less. However, the exact half a shekel that's mentioned in the Torah without adding, increasing it, or decreasing it, that was not fully fulfilled only by the adonim itself. Because as we said, regarding the machzah shekel of the karbanis, of the shkalim, that was changed because it's something that goes through history, and then the coins changed, and then they would increase it, but again, everyone would still be giving the same amount because it was essentially the same halacha of a asher l'yarbi v'adal l'yamid. Now, and the Tikkun Chatan says that the girsas that some Gemaras have, a mashal yirtzu yasu, what they want they could do, it's obviously an error, he says, because the doing was not according to what they wanted. The doing had specific doings, and that is, the shkalim was for karbanis, and the adonim was for the adonim, and the Mishkan was for the Mishkan, and therefore it must be the bringing of these two Trumas for the Mishkan. However much you want to bring, you could bring, and however much you want to give for the Shkalim was also changed, because as we said, according to time. However, the doing was for specific doings. So the Gemara continues in Amr Bavan, so he says, related to this last Pasuk that we ended off with, that we said regarding the Truma of Adonim, that is what the first Pasuk had spoken about, as we brought from the Pasuk of Me'ez, of a Yikuli Truma, that, we said, is going to be exacting a half a shekel. So we brought down that pasuk to show that, of Asher Lo Yarbi, af b'parsha hazayis. Also in this parsha, in other words, once we mentioned this pasuk of Asher Lo Yarbi, which was a pasuk in Parsha Kisisa, so then we said, now not only in Parsha's Truma do we see an allusion to these three Trumas, but in Parsha Kisisa it's also mentioned these three Trumas. Nema b'gimel Trumas, it says these three Trumas. Because as we find in Parsha Kisisa, it says, machtsa shekel truma l'Hashem. A half a shekel should be a donation to Hashem. The pasuk afterwards says, Yitin Trumas Hashem. You should give the donation of Hashem. And the pasuk after that says, again, the word Truma, Losses is Trumas Hashem, to give the donation of Hashem. However, the Tikkun Chatan tells us that the Gemara doesn't tell us exactly where we find the allusion to these three things, and it relies on the explanation of the three Trumas in Parsha's Truma. And that is in relation to, as we had defined it before, that regarding the Truma of the Mishkan, they weren't particular about being a machtsa shekel. And also, it wasn't that everyone brought the same amount, whereas by the Truma of the Shkalim, we said that everyone has to give the same amount. But sometimes, it wasn't exactly the machtsa shekel that was in days of Moshe Rabbeinu. But the Truma of the Adonim, we said, that the pasuk was particular, it had to be exactly a machtsa shekel, not increasing or decreasing it at all. And therefore the Tikkun Chatan says that, and therefore we could find that allusion in these three Trumas in Parashat Kisisa too. That is the first pasuk that's brought where it says Zayitnu Kol. That's a reference to the machtsa shekel of the shkolim, because it says that it has to be a machtsa shekel. The pasuk that says Yitin Trumas Hashem, they should give the Truma of Hashem, and it doesn't say machtsas, that's talking about Trumas HaMishkan that everyone brought as much as they want to. And the pasuk of Asher Lo Yarbi, as we already brought it in to prove that that was the pasuk in Parashat Truma, that where it says Lo Yarbi B'machtsas, that's talking about the Truma of Adonim, as we said, because there, not only did everyone have to give the same amount, it had to be exactly a machtsas hashekel. Now the Gemara continues discussing our Mishnah. We said that betesvav bai, that on the 15th day of Adar, karin as a megillah b'krachim. So from all the different things we mentioned on Mishnah that were done on the 15th of Adar, is also they would read the Megillah in the walled cities, which were walled from the times of Yeshua ben Nun. Now the Gemara asks, loy kein amar Reb Chelboy, Don't we find Reb Chelbi said, and Reb Huna said, and Rav said, B'shem Reb Chia, Rabba, in the name of the great Reb Chia, Hakol Yoytzim Yudal, as we mentioned on Amad Alf, everyone, even those who are in the walled cities, which their times are mentioned to be read on the 15th of Adar, they fulfill their chiv even on the 14th, Shuzman Kriyasa, which is a time when it's read throughout, and that is even those of the 15th would fulfill. And therefore the question becomes, why did our Mishnah say only that on the 15th is when those from the walled cities read their Megillah, and it didn't say the Ikarzman, the main time, which is when everybody fulfills their chiv, even the prazis, even the open cities, that it was on the 14th? In other words, what he was proving from here was, obviously the Mishnah holds that not everybody could fulfill their obligation of reading Megillah on the 14th of Adar, and that is why it mentioned those of the 15th of the walled cities, that that is when they could fulfill their chiv, that is also only on the 15th, like all the other things that are from the 15th of Adar, and that's difficult according to what we're saying over here from Reb Chia, that he holds the halacha, and like we mentioned from on Omer Aleph, that the halacha would be that they could fulfill on the 14th, but then say the 14th where everyone could do it, not just the 15th of the walled cities. Obviously, we're saying that no, the walled cities were only the 15th, like all those other things which were done just on the 15th. So that the Gemara says no. Lai ba el lamedcha. Our mission is only coming to teach you, and when you understand what the purpose of the lesson of the mission is, you'll see your question is not difficult. That shekol ha mitzvahs ha noigas ba adar sheni, that all the mitzvahs that apply in the second adar, in noigas ba adar rishon, do not apply by the first adar. In other words, truthfully, our Mishnah could be like Reb Chia, that those from the walled cities could fulfill their chiv on the 14th of Adar. Now, so why did it say only the 15th of Adar? Is because what was the purpose of our Mishnah mentioning it? Because it wanted to tell us that all these things that are mentioned in the Mishnah, that their halacha start on the 15th of Adar, that they only apply in the second Adar. Now, that's why the first thing from those list of things that's mentioned on the 15th of Adar mentions the reading of the Megillah together with them to teach this halacha. And that is just like the reading of the Megillah. That we know for sure it's only by the second Adar, as the Mishnah says explicitly in Masechtas Megillah, that you read the Megillah, and if let's say it was you read on the first Adar and then they made a new Adar Sheni, you have to read over in the Adar Sheni, because there is no differences between the two, but Kriyas Megillah has to be in the second Adar. And we learned that from Sukkim over there. That is why we said over here the reading in the Megillah to tell you that all these things that are on the 15th of Adar are only in the second Adar. And that's why we mentioned only those of the Krachin on the 15th, because we wanted to compare it to all the other things and to tell you that just like their reading in the Megillah on the 15th of Adar is only in Adar Beis, so too all these other things are only in Adar Beis. But regarding all the other specifics of the halachas, regarding that they could fulfill it on the 14th, or that the open cities that are not walled on the 14th, that it says in Masechtas Megillah, that wasn't our purpose over here. Our purpose over here mentioning it was to tell us the halacha that those are the 15th, which we're saying first with the Megillah, to show this halacha is dafka by Adar Beis, not by Adar Rishon. So the Gemara says that on this, Rabbi Yisra and Rabbi Acha have a yasvin, when they were sitting, and they had this discussion. So Amr Rabbi Yisra said to Rabbi Acha that this halacha of Rabbi Chia, that everyone fulfills, even the walled cities, who it says that they read the Megillah on the 15th, they fulfill it on the 14th. Loi Mistabri says it doesn't make sense that he was coming to teach us a chiddush, and they changed the girsa of Elad Sha'avar, of a love loi, and they changed it with these other words of, it wouldn't make sense that he's teaching us Lisha'avar, that only if it had passed already, and that is, if you had read it on the 14th, and now you're already past the 15th, that you're fulfilling your reading that you did on the 14th, and that is what Rabbi Yisra was saying to Rabbi Acha. Doesn't make sense that that was what he was coming to teach us. Because then what would be the chiddush in teaching us such halacha? Because whatever was. What would be the purpose in telling us if he, you want to know what happened, which you can't do anything about now anyway because you're already past the 15th, that, you happened to have fulfilled it, and if I didn't, what's the purpose? Ella, rather, what it makes sense he was coming to teach us was lahabaloi, that in other words, for the future that you don't have to. In other words, if you read it on the 14th of Adar and it's still not yet the 15th of Adar, that is what Reb Chaya was teaching us, that still you would not have to read on the 15th of Adar because you already fulfilled your chiv on the 14th of Adar, which is the time when it's read throughout by everybody, and therefore you would fulfill it with that. Now, based on this, the Gemara asks, if that's the case, Bavatani, we learn the Braisa that seems to contradict this, because again, Rabbi Yisra is telling Rabbi Acha, I would only understand his halacha if he's telling me that even if it's not the 15th yet, I wouldn't have to read it. But there's a Braisa that says, Makum shenagu l'kreis shnei yam, in an area, place where they're in doubt if they were a walled city, if they're not, if they have to read on the 14th, the 15th, that where their meaning is to read it for both days, the 14th and the 15th. So then Kairi Naisa Shnei Yom. So they have to read it for both the 14th, and you have to read Megillas Esther on the 15th. Now, the difficulty is, even if they are a Krachim, and they read on the 14th, we just said that you don't have to read it over, you're fulfilling it on the 14th. So what would be the Chiyuv of ever reading it on the 14th and the 15th? Because once you read on the 14th, no matter who you are, if you're a walled city or open city, you're fulfilling it. So how do we understand that Braisa, based on the way we have to say, was the halacha of Rabbi Chiya Rabba? And then Amaleir Sarabacha responded to Rabbi Yosef, and he says, you know, I also hold like that. In other words, I understand Rabbi Chiya's halacha the way you explain, that it obviously he would be saying that even if it's not the 15th yet, you still would not have to recite and to repeat the Megillah on the 15th. But however, the Braisa is not difficult. But he didn't explain why. So on that, the Gemara comes to explain, Amr Abmana, Rabmana says, V'yaos. And it's correct this that Rabbi Acha responded to him, that the Braisa is not difficult to Rabbi Chiya. And he explained as follows. Because, Ilu Mishikariya B'yodalad, because were it to be that they were to read their Megillah on the 14th, and they changed the Gisim Chayza V'kariya to V'leikara B'tezvav, and he wouldn't read it on the 15th. In other words, if that's what initially they would do, that they would read it only on the 14th and not on the 15th. Now, Shema, and they take out the word Ein, Shema Shemenlai, do you think we would listen to him? In other words, for those, let's say it's supposed to be a walled city, which we're not sure maybe if it's the 14th or 15th. But if that's its halacha, to read on the 15th. And he says, you know what? Let me just read on the 14th, because he said I fulfilled it on the 14th, even though it's supposed to be on the 15th. Would you listen to such a person that initially we let, you know, walled cities go ahead, you fulfill on the 14th, do it on the 14th. But imat, oimer kain, but if you were to say that, they changed the gifts from nimtzas to im kain, if so, you have uprooted the time of when the walled cities are supposed to read the Megillah. In other words, the Braisa that tells us, makam shenagu likrishne yamim, that the place where they would read the Megillah for both the 14th and the 15th, because they were doubt if they're a walled city, which they have to read on the 15th, if you would say that even Likatchila, initially, you could always read on the 14th, because, hey, you know, even a walled city person could read on the 14th, but then you would totally uproot this man of which was instituted for the Krachim, for the walled cities to be on the 15th. In other words, whereas this halacha of Rebbe Chiya that says that everybody fulfills their chiv, even the walled cities, on the 14th, that was only if one time it happened to be that you read on the 14th that you'll fulfill it. And that's not uprooting the Zman of when it was instituted for the walled cities to be on the 15th. It's just, if you do it on the 14th, you'll fulfill it. But it's not a difficulty from the Braisa, which says that these cities, which maybe it's a krach, that you have to read it both the 14th and the 15th, because even though once in a while you can fulfill on the 14th, but as a whole, for the customs of the city, we can't institute it on the 14th, because then we would be uprooting the takana, which was mentioned in the Megillah, that the krachim have to read it on the 15th. So now the Gemara returns to what we had been discussing before, the differences between the first Adar and the second Adar. So Tani, we learned, Reb Shimon Gamliel Amar, Reb Shimon Gamliel says, mitzvahs hanoyigis ba'adar sheini, the mitzvahs that apply in the second Adar, for example, all those that I mentioned in our Mishnah, and Matanis Lavyon, giving the gifts to the poor people, and the Dalet Parashis, which we read in the month of Adar, these things that apply in Adar sheini, einin nohigis b'rishin, they do not apply in the first Adar, and that is if you did it in the first, you would have to do it over in the second one. Chutz mi hesped v'tainis, except for eulogizing someone and fasting, shein shavin bezeh bezeh, which they are the same by both Adars, which is regarding the 14th and the 15th, that in the Adar Rishon, it's also forbidden to have a hesped and a tainis on the time of Yudal or Tesvav Adar. Now, the Gemara says related to this that Rabbah and Rabbi Yirmiyahu Yibushim Rav and Rabbi Simon B'Shem B'Shuma Levi, they all say halacha, K'Rabbi B'Shem B'Shuma Levi, halacha falls like him, that although we said that the halachas do not apply to Adar Rishon, but for Hesped and Tainis, they do apply to Adar Rishon. A different version, Rav Huna Rabba the Tzibari Nama, Rav Huna of Tzipari, he said, that Hinig Reb Chanina B'Tziparin Ka'adod Reb Shem B'Shuma Levi, that Reb Chanina in Tzipari, he followed the minig of following Reb Shem B'Shuma Levi. Now, the inference is, he only said that his hanhaga, he accustomed himself like Rav Shimon Gamliel. But it doesn't say that the halacha necessarily follows Rav Shimon Gamliel. Now, what that means is, as the Gemara mentions many times in Bavli, for example, in the Gemara in Tainis Daf Chavav, that when it says the halacha is, that's what you would lecture for the public, for the masses to hear it. A minig means to say that, although we don't lecture about it, but when someone comes to ask us a shayla, then we say that's the halacha. So although that he accustomed himself, like Rav Shimon Gamliel, not to do a hesped or a tainis on Adar Rishon, but we didn't lecture like that. In other words, we didn't tell people that's what they have to do. It was only that it was hinting like that, but not that that's halacha. However, the Gemara continues. Aval in shtaris, but regarding documents, and that is if someone wants to write a document, there we have a machlokes regarding which is the primary, Adar Rishon or Adar Sheni. And that is, kaisvin Adar Rishon, we write the first Adar, and that is if someone's coming to write it during the first Adar, he writes Adar Rishon, the first Adar. However, the Adar Sheni, when he's coming to write on the document, the date, when it's in the second Adar, then he writes Tam. He just writes the word Adar without any added words about it being the Sheni. And that's the opinion of Reb Meir, because he holds that generally, the prominent Adar, the main one, means the second Adar and not the first one. Whereas Reb Yehuda says that Adar Rishon, we continue on top of Gimel Med Aleph, is Stam. And that is, he holds that Stam Adar is the first one, that's the primary Adar, whereas Adar Sheni, when you come to write the document, in the second Adar, then you have to write Tinyan, then you write that it's Adar Sheni, you don't write Adar Stam, because he holds that the Adar, the main one, is the Adar Rishon, and the added one is the Adar Sheni, so therefore there you don't write Adar, rather you write Adar Sheni.